Welcome to the UFO Files. This is Jerry Pippin, and we're broadcasting from the UFO Congress. And, of course, we're in Laughlin, Nevada at the Aquarius Resort Casino Hotel. And one of the first people that we ever had on the air is with us, Steve Bassett. And, Steve, how are you?
I'm just fine, Jerry. It's great to be with you again.
Yeah, this Paul Hellyer announcement, you need to get into that for us right off the top, I think, and talk to us a little bit about what's happening here. This seems to be pretty earth-shaking to me.
Well, it's significant. As you know, I'm an activist, a political activist, and my work is all about advocating for the truth embargo the government has imposed to end it, because I think it's time to do so. And I've been doing that through my work under Paradigm Research Group and also my Political Action PAC. And for the last 10 years, we've been doing everything we can to get this issue out there, to engage the political media, engage the Congress, candidates for office, and certainly the executive branch, the president, and so forth. And we don't have time to go into all the projects that Paradigm Research Group has done over the years, but a recent one may have borne fruit. And it's this. On the 29th...
Let's talk a little bit about that, because I think it's a direct... result, this announcement we're going to talk about, from something you did earlier.
That's right. On the 29th of January, Paradigm Research Group published an open letter to Al Gore. And that letter can be found at the Paradigm Research Group website, paradigmresearchgroup.org. It's also up on American Chronicles. You can search for it there. And this letter essentially anticipated that Gore would almost certainly win the Academy Award for Best Documentary at the Oscars on the 25th, which was a few days ago. And it basically said to him, the message was, that you have raised some extremely dire predictions regarding the planet and the human condition, and indicated that we've got to do something about it. He said it was a moral imperative. Well, if that's true, then anything which could dramatically impact our ability to respond to global warming that was not in play or left off the table would be wrong. It would be unethical. And the fact is that there is such an issue with respect to what's on the table, and that is the fact that there is extraterrestrial technology, we're certain, that has been garnered from extraterrestrial vehicles by the United States government since the 40s, and that this tech is sequestered in government laboratories, military laboratories, and available only for weapons development, not for dealing with other issues like global warming. And if this truth embargo will end, we can get that technology into play. And you need to speak to that, because I believe, and I was the author of the letter, that you know about this, because you were heavily involved in national security issues while in the Senate. One of your specialties was arms control, nuclear proliferation, and so forth. And, of course, you were an important vice president for 8 years. So if you're going to speak truth to power, it's not enough to just address those truths which are convenient or self-serving or easy, but you have to speak the whole truth and nothing but the truth and leave your fate in the hands of history. And so this letter went out to 5,000 news outlets. It was published in a number of places and so forth and so forth. Okay. So Gore won the Academy Award. He did not speak to the issue or mention it at all. That's fine. That was anticipated. However, our fine friends in Canada, Exopolitics Toronto, which is part of the Exopolitics movement, disclosure movement in Canada, Victor Vigiani, Mike Bird, they made sure the letter to Gore got to the attention of Paul Hellyer, who is the former Minister of Defense back in the 60s and former Deputy Prime Minister of Canada, and a very well-known political figure up there, now very vigorous in his 83rd year. And Hellyer, to his great credit, having come out publicly in September of 2005, stating that he believes the ET reality is true and Roswell crash did take place and so forth, really stuck his neck out, but with great impact, I believe, in Canada certainly, Hellyer decided to speak to the ET tech issue. And so a press release was put out in which he also calls on this technology to be brought forward so we can deal with global warming in a proper way. And one of the papers that covered it was the Ottawa Citizen. And the heading of that article, just to make the point clear, was Alien Technology, the Best Hope to Save Our Planet. Ex-defense boss, governments must reveal what they know, says Paul Hellyer. Now, what's happened and why this is important is that this article got picked up by Drudge. Now, the Drudge Report, some people like it, some people don't. Fact is, it's one of the most heavily trafficked sites on the Internet. I go to it all the time. Millions of visitors every day go to the Drudge Report. And so, given the interesting subject matter we're talking about here, you can bet your bottom dollar that virtually everybody that goes to Drudge Report over the next few days is going to click on this link. That is going to have the effect of fully putting Paul Hellyer in play in the United States and making him a news subject and a news target, which means interviews and other things. And it also increases the likelihood that Gore is going to be asked about this, the matter in the that was brought up in the open letter to Gore, as well as Hellyer's comments, which puts him on the spot. Now, if Gore denies that there, flat out denies there could be any extraterrestrial technology, we've got him. We'll go after him immediately. If he hedges on the issue and leaves it open, that's good too. And of course, if he says, look, it's possible that it is there, it has enormous impact on the truth embargo. So this is a significant event. All thanks to the work of Victor Vigiani, Mike Bird, the Exopolitics Toronto people, and of course the courage of Paul Hellyer, who late in his career, late in his life, has decided to be candid and speak about this publicly, and put his I think tremendous career and credibility behind the most important issue in the world today.
Now, this is really something that you've been working for a long time, and a lot of other people. And you know, the significance of the Gore letter and you writing it. Why did you choose to make it an open letter?
Well, I've done this over the years.
Yeah,
I've written an open letter to Steven Spielberg. It was published widely. An open letter to George Bush. Open letter to all the candidates in the 2004 election. And now this open letter to Gore. And the reason for this is to draw these people out, and to, here's the problem. The reason this truth embargo has lasted now 60 years, it's 2007, is that a whole lot of people that know full well there's an extraterrestrial presence, people of substance and money, resources and high influence, have chosen to go along with the embargo. They will not attack it. They will not address it. They will not confront it. They dance around it. They make movies about it. They write books. Not write books, but they
yeah, I understand what you're saying.
They make a lot of money from it, okay? Mm-hmm. Spielberg's made hundreds of millions of dollars off the extraterrestrial issue. We don't need to go there. But they will not speak to it because they're afraid of ridiculed or having a couple of jokes told about them on Jay Leno's show or David Letterman. We no longer have that luxury anymore. We are facing major environmental, geopolitical, national security issues, global security issues. There's an extraterrestrial presence. There's ET technology in government labs. We simply cannot continue this farce of a charade where, you know, half the American public knows there's an ET presence, says so in the polls, believes that Roswell was true, knows the government's lying, and that nothing happens. Nothing changes, right? Well, government witnesses are coming forward. That's helpful. There have been dozens of those, scores of those. And certain figures of note are speaking out. Dan Aykroyd has put his career and reputation behind this issue. He's spoken publicly. Now Paul Hellyer has come out. John Podesta came out in 2003 at two press conferences in the National Press Club, where he flat out said that the documents in the government's hands regarding extraterrestrials need to be released. Bill Richardson, the governor of New Mexico, in a foreword to the book Roswell Digs, he's still governor, by the way, and by the way, a presidential candidate, stated that the Roswell issue hadn't been resolved and needs to be reinvestigated. So people are trying to come out, but the government itself will not yield. It continues to say its standard response to every inquiry, and there have been hundreds of thousands of them in the last 60 years, we do not investigate UFOs. They do not, but if there is something there, whatever, it doesn't pose a threat to our security. This insults the intelligence of every American citizen, right? It insults the intelligence of other foreign governments. It embarrasses the United States. It has to end. This embargo of this truth has to end now.
Now, I know you're getting ready to go back to Washington, D.C., and you may have some announcements yourself, or you may once again have a UFO political-type conference coming up. We're not sure exactly when that'll happen, but I know it's getting closer.
Well, PRG held two conferences on called the X conferences, 2004-2005. They were very well received, but we lost about $40,000+, which really limited dramatically PRG's ability to function, Paradigm Research Group. So I'm in the process of raising the $50,000 needed to settle all accounts and clear the franchise so that the third conference can take place properly. I have 30,000 committed, believe it or not, and we're trying to find 20,000 more in 5K increments from people that want to support this work. And as soon as I have that, I am going to announce a date in Washington, D.C. for X Conference 2007 later in the year in the fall. And let's keep our fingers crossed.
Now when people listening, if they want to get in touch with you, that you have several ways to do that. Basically, off your website's the best way, probably.
Well, the PRG website has been around for 10 years now. The current address is paradigmresearchgroup.org. Their previous address was paradigmclock.com. That also gets you there. And you get to the main portal that has links to all of the PRG websites, including the main one, the PRG site. And there's a huge amount of material there. The largest bibliography on the Internet on this issue, the largest media archive on the Internet, one of the best quotes directories on the Internet, the largest news article archive on the Internet, all there, along with a lot of other material, thousands of links to books, projects, films, documentaries, and so forth, of others in the field that have been working on this for 60 years. And, of course, the address for PRG is PRG, Paradigm Research Group, PRG at paradigmresearchgroup.org. And, of course, for myself, Stephen Bassett, you can reach us easily there.
We talk about, and we've been looking forward to going to maybe another conference because we know that those two were successful. I feel you really broke some ground there.
We did.
You went to the National Press Club with...
We held a press conference at the National Press Club after the X Conference 2005, and that press conference has turned up in a recent documentary called Fast Walkers, which premiered the first premiere was in Sholo, Arizona, then it premiered in Phoenix, and on March the 7th, it will premiere in Canada, Fast Walkers documentary, and the info on that can be found at fastwalkers.com, FASTWALKERS, fastwalkers.com, and Paul Hellyer is going to be there. There's going to be another press conference. So
we may get something else.
This great politician in Canada, who founded two political parties up there, when he was in Parliament, he was the youngest person at the time to be in Parliament in Canada. He became the deputy, the Minister of Defense, under Lester Pearson, and the Deputy Prime Minister under Pierre Trudeau. This is an important man, and he has said, he has contacted some of his people in the United States, high-level people in the military, who have confirmed to him that Roswell was true and a lot more. This man has courage. We need Americans of that rank and station to have the same courage, because this country is in deep trouble. We are in trouble environmentally. We have terrible problems in our foreign policy. We are losing respect all over the world because, frankly, we've invested too much into lying to our people and to the world's people about what is going on. We have lied about program after issue after program for 60 years, and it is time the United States gets in the truth business. If we do, we will start to regain the trust of the world's people, and we can build proper coalitions to deal with our common interests. But if we continue to lie about issues of this magnitude, no one is going to believe what America says, what America means, or want to participate in America's dreams.
We're talking with Stephen Bassett. We'll be right back, and we're going to talk. You've been away from Washington for a while, Stephen.
18 months in California, thanks to a very fine supporter who gave me a break, basically.
And I want to find out how it was away from the Beltway. When we come back, this is Jerry Pippin. This is UFO Files. The biggest secret ever is about to be revealed. Fast Walkers. UFO and alien disclosure.
Words you were never meant to hear.
It's clear we're dealing with a cosmic Watergate.
This is the biggest secret in the history of the human race, the known modern history of government.
Photos you were never meant to see. Video you never knew existed. People you were never meant to meet.
as Jack Nicholson would say, you can't handle the truth.
Essentially everything that you would want to know has been covered up.
Things you were never meant to know about.
No one has produced a higher quality, better produced DVD anytime, anywhere. Fast Walkers now available on DVD for only $19.95 at ShopJerryPippin.com. Hey, this is Jerry Pippin, and we're broadcasting from the UFO Congress, and of course we're in Laughlin, Nevada at the Aquarius Resort Casino Hotel. Steve Bassett with us, and you mentioned the clock. Has it moved?
Well, I reset the paradigm clock back in 2006. I think it was April, May of 2006. I put out a press release on it. Didn't get a lot of attention. I moved it 15 seconds to midnight. I mean, literally right at the edge of disclosure.
We're there.
Now, the paradigm clock, for those listeners that don't know about it, which is at the paradigmresearchgroup.org site, was created in 1998 as a to do the same job that the Doomsday Clock did, which is to draw attention to an issue. The Doomsday Clock, of course, created in 1947, drew attention to nuclear war by showing how whether the world was moving closer or further from nuclear war, which would be midnight on that clock. And the Paradigm Clock was designed to show how close we were getting to disclosure, which is the formal, as very very precisely defined, is the formal acknowledgement of the extraterrestrial presence by the world's governments. And that's what midnight on the paradigm clock is, and that was published retroactively to 1947, and then the clock shows how it's moved one way or the other over the years, and the time has been reset several times since 1998. The reason I moved it to 15 seconds to midnight was because in that period, I received information from extremely high sources, strong sources, that confirmed what I sort of suspected, that there was an extraordinary breach that had developed between the military and the intelligence community and our executive branch. I think everyone can guess what that breach is about, so I won't go into that. But it was extraordinary. I've never had one quite like that in our history. And that as a result, it opened up a window of opportunity for this process to suddenly accelerate and be resolved. The reason being that with this extraordinary breach, if elements within the military intelligence complex wanted to go ahead with disclosure, and we know there are some that want to do that, and the executive tried to block it, I don't think they would have yielded to that. They would have gone forward anyway. And secondly, if the executive, under enormous pressure by world events and internal issues, I think would be more open than ever to what would be a cosmic change of subject. And there is no bigger change of subject available to the human race right now than acknowledging the extraterrestrial presence. I think that will seriously focus the attention of millions, if not billions, of people on something which has very significant long-term potential benefits and enormous implications, and maybe take their minds off a lot of the bad behavior that not only they're watching, but even participating in. So this circumstance and some other factors is why I moved the clock so close. And that window of opportunity still exists. If nothing happens in 2007, probably the end of 2007, I will move the clock away from midnight. But I have a very strong feeling about this year. I think 2007 could be the year that the breach of the wall, the breach of the truth embargo occurs, either in the United States coming out of the military intelligence community or from the executive or from another country, Canada, Mexico, France, the UK, Brazil even, though I don't know if that would trip the truth embargo or not, but it might. Any of these countries could break the embargo independently, which would lead to the United States following suit. So this could be the year. And let's face it, folks, if you've been paying attention and watching the news the last 3 years, don't we need a change of subject? Don't we need something else to focus on and direct our energies and resources to than the madness that seems to be going on? And there is a parallel to this. And the parallel was at the worst part of the Cold War, when everybody was calling everybody names and students were hiding under their desks, and it was the evil, evil, you know, Marxist-Leninist. Kennedy did a brilliant thing. He launched the space program and created a friendly competition between us and the Soviet Union to get to space and so forth, and enormous amounts of resources put in that, and the world's attention was shifted from ideological death throes to our death match to a, quote, scientific competition, and we turned to the stars. And I think that dramatically lessened the tensions and helped eventually lead to the end of the Cold War. And now, as you know, cooperation between Russia, other nations, and the United States in space. We need another change of subject like that because things have turned bad again.
So you're still pretty optimistic that we're getting close to disclosure?
Oh, no. Disclosure is inevitable. Disclosure is inevitable. The only question is, are we moving closer, moving toward it or away from it? Right now, we're moving toward it, and therefore the opportunity for it to happen now as opposed to later is great. That's why after 18 months in California, I am returning to Washington to set up again and fully re-engage more actively than ever United States Congress and all the political media that are there.
Now, you've been on the West Coast for 18 months, as you just said.
Yeah.
Did you get a little different perspective when you got out of the belt?
Oh, yes.
Tell me a little bit about your impressions.
You know, I was in the Bay Area, which is a lot of intellectual activity there, a lot of political activity, and
I
met a lot of new people.
Yeah, I used to live there, but they kicked me out. No,
you probably shouldn't go there. But I met a lot of interesting people, made some new contacts, and also went to a number of events. So it was a very valuable 18 months. And it was courtesy of one of my dear supporters, a gentleman by the name of Sergio Lube, who is a jeweler manufacturer out there and very much interested in the subject. He networks people together by the thousands, and he has a website, sergiolube.inc. Check it out. But without his help, I couldn't have done that. And now I have another supporter who's going to help me back in the East Coast. And eventually, when we get major funding, and I'm talking $1 million, $2 million, then
when you get this kind of funding, what kind of level are you moving to?
I've created an action plan that I've put down on paper that has been distributed to a few individuals.
So Bassett does have a plan.
Well, it's the Paradigm Research Group Action Plan, and basically it is a $2 million proposal, a project that is designed to effectuate certain projects, certain things that have to be done that have actually never been done before, with the goal of ending the truth embargo no later than the summer of 2009, assuming it doesn't end itself, right, between now and then. And,
okay.
And that project is in some hands. $1 million would be outside money, and the other million would be generated by PRG using that money and in various ways that create what we call funding multipliers. And that is what real funding could do. Without that, we move forward doing what we can, doing the kind of advocacy that, you know, the inexpensive stuff like the open letter to Gore, which was triggered the Hellyer and now has a Drudge connection. We do what we can, but if real money would ever turn up from wherever, the things that we could be done would put, I think, pressure on the truth embargo it simply could not withstand.
Now, how about the attitude overall in the Bay Area? Is it totally different than the mindset than it is in the Beltline in Washington, D.C.?
Well, look, the Bay Area is far more, it's one of the most progressive and left of center areas in the United States. So you're going to meet a lot of people left of center there. Certainly the number of people that believe the ET presence is real is every bit as high as the national polls show. 50% is probably higher. I ran into a lot of people, of course, that were firmly committed, and I talked to some intellectuals that people would know who they were, who are in the closet on this issue, but I think are open to the possibility of going public in the near future. Believe me, if you could somehow privately interview every professor in this country, every scientist and every politician in this country, where they knew they could tell you what their thoughts are on this without any fear of it being known, you would be absolutely astounded at how many scientists, political leaders, academics, writers and authors pretty much have figured out that the ET presence is real. But the truth embargo has been effective, and they're concerned about the ridicule, they're concerned about the Letterman jokes and the Leno jokes, and so they kind of hold back. But that is changing. And you're going to see more people of note coming forward, more people of substance, people who have substantial careers known to the American people coming forward and saying, look, you know, what can I say? ETs are here, right? I'm pretty sure of it. In fact, I'm certain of it. And you're going to have people coming forward that are notable who have had experiences, who have had direct contact, what we call the contactee phenomena, the abduction phenomena, experiencer phenomena. That is happening and has happened too. So, again, tell me how a truth embargo could withstand this kind of publicity, this kind of process for very long.
Now when we talk about the political ramifications of mentioning UFOs and saying, yeah, they're real, and doing it with a straight face, you ran for Congress once doing that.
Well, I ran for Congress as an independent, as an activist maneuver to get the thing on the issue.
But you did talk about UFOs.
Well, because I ran as an independent, we got 5,000 signatures. I actually got on the ballot. And since I was on the ballot, I had access to some of the debates. I was kept out of 16, but I got into 5. And so one of them was televised. In fact, the main one was televised. And so I was there on the stage with the other two candidates, Connie Morella and Chris Van Hollen, and I was being asked questions about the extraterrestrial issue, and they had to respond. Now, they dodged it, but they didn't ridicule it. In fact, nobody really ridiculed the issue the entire time that I was in that campaign. Nobody challenged me. Nobody said, there's nothing there.
How about as a lobbyist calling on these offices and the movers and shakers behind the Congress?
All of the meetings since 1997 that I have had on the Hill and with political media, which is where I focus most of my attention, reporters, only one person in all of 10 years has ever said to me, Mr. Bassett, there are no extraterrestrials. And that was a fellow by the name of David Von Driel, who at the time had been made editor of the style section of the Washington Post. He's now, I think, a reporter or back in a general reporting role. But when I contacted him about doing an interview or something, he sent me a fax that I still have. I've kept it, and I will eventually frame it, where he says, Mr. Bassett, there are no extraterrestrials. But if you find one, bring them in, and we'll interview them. That's the only person in 10 years that's been able to say that to me. Now, I had plenty of people say, yeah, no, I'm pretty sure it's true, or yeah, I kind of doubt, I'd like to know more, whatever. I've had plenty of that. Only one person in 10 years. You know why? Because they know it's true, or they suspect it's true, and they don't want to be telling too many people it ain't true because they're going to be embarrassed.
Are these people really in the dark, or are they keeping a secret?
Look, there are... Based on just what has come out in the public domain, in documentaries and films and books, you can't avoid it. Most intelligent people in this country have come to the conclusion simply on their own. They don't have to have a sighting. They don't have to be researchers. They figured it out. But the number of people that will publicly state that conclusion is obviously much less. That's why the polls are a better reflection. 50% of the American people say that they believe UFOs are here now. However, that's 50% of the total population. If you go up in an education level, up in an income level, the number goes up. And so when you're talking about educated people in business, finance, academia, and politics, I think the number of people on that level, if they were polled only, in other words, if you narrowed the set to those people, I think it's 75%. If they could be privately interviewed, would stipulate privately, knowing that there was no risk to them, that they believe that either they know that there's an ET presence or they strongly suspect it. Now think about that, and think about the dichotomy between that and the reality in which the Congress will do absolutely nothing on this major issue with enormous consequence, not the least of which, its impact on the global warming issue, which we're told if we don't do something about, Florida's going to be underwater, the economies of Europe and the United States are going to collapse, millions if not hundreds of millions of people are going to die, but ET technology, which could dramatically alter that equation, can't be brought out because of national security issues translated, too many people would be embarrassed.
So thanks very much, Steve Bassett, for coming by. And let's talking about that Paul Heyer announcement up in Canada. And it is a result of your open letter to Al Gore, I'm pretty sure.
Well, I take some credit, but I think the real credit got to go to Paul Heyer, who it continues to speak to this, continues not to back off, and apparently is not going to back off. And what does the America do when a former minister of defense of one of its most important allies and a former deputy prime minister is now speaking this way? It really makes a lot of our retired high-level people look a little bit, how would you say, meek? I'm trying to be kind here. Meek, taciturn, maybe lacking... the kind of clear
words,
thinking and courage we need to get to the bottom of
this. We need somebody in this country with some guts.
We need an American Paul Heyer, and we need him now.
I'm a former Secretary
of Defense, former major politician. I know that there are a number of them that know the ET presence is here. We need somebody to come forward and say something.
Okay, we're broadcasting from the UFO Congress here in Laughlin, Nevada. We're going to switch gears now and talk about another meeting out in the middle of the desert in California of our next guest at the Integraton And they're going to have another meeting again this April. We were out there last year, and I think you'll find that interesting, what they have planned out there in the middle of the California desert. It goes all the way back to the 50s in that activity. Stephen Bassett, we want to remind everybody that you're going to have a conference coming up in Washington, D.C.
Hopefully.
Sometime. Probably this year, if not soon.
Eventually, but hopefully this year in the fall.
Well, you're like the junkyard dog. You're not going to let loose.
No, I'm not going to give up.
Don't go away, folks. We'll be right back.
In March of 1997, a huge triangular ship appeared over Phoenix. Thousands saw it, and even now, years later, Phoenix is a place of UFO intrigue, sightings, experiences.
It just didn't look like anything I'd ever seen in my life.
Hear about it on The Jerry Pippin Show.